Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Boy Erased, The Guilty, and Widows. I don't know, seems a little dark. Hi, David, how are you?
I'm doing okay this week, Jill. How are you doing?
I'm curious, but well, thank you.
Well, that's good. And the titles are pretty dark, and the movies themselves certainly have a fair amount of darkness in them, although they're all actually pretty different from each other. So let us begin with Boy Erased, which is a new movie, which interestingly is written and directed by Joel Edgerton, who also plays one of the leading roles in it. And Boy Erased is just about a really interesting subject. At least I think it's very interesting. It's based on the memoir of a man named Gerard Connolly. And he was the son of an evangelical preacher, and he was beginning to realize that he was gay. And worse than that, his parents were beginning to realize that he was gay. He's just an adolescent. But this is extremely frowned upon by his family and everyone they know, pretty much. And before long, the parents arrange for him to go off to a gay conversion program. So this is, of course, a very real phenomenon, and I think personally a pretty creepy one, where there is this belief that people can be counseled to not be homosexual anymore, and in a case like this, religiously counseled. God hates homosexuality. You've got to get rid of this. This is a flaw in your character. God did not make you like this, etc. So this young man, whose name in the film is Jared, goes off to this place. He and his mother check into a hotel, and he's going to go to this place every day. And if he doesn't make progress, the threat is that he's going to have to move in as a residential client, which he certainly does not want to happen. And he then is subjected, that's I think the right word to it, to this therapy day after day. And along the way, we see this happening, and we see his interactions with his mother and father, his mother partly when they're at the hotel, and also he's home from time to time. And then there are flashbacks to episodes from his slightly earlier life when certain things that relate to homosexuality happened. At one point, he is raped very viciously by another boy at college, because the movie sort of covers him in high school and then in college. Other things happen. He meets another boy who is gay, and they have what appears to be possibly a sort of a platonic relationship, although that's not 100% clear. So we have these flashbacks, and then eventually I won't give away the end of the movie. So again, A Boy Erased is, I think, not only about a very interesting topic, but about a topic which has a certain amount of urgency to it. Of course, America has made great progress in, if not eliminating, at least moving beyond a lot of the horrible homophobia that has existed over the centuries. For example, the great Supreme Court decision allowing gay marriage and so forth. But there's still a lot of homophobia around, and of course within certain religious communities there's a great deal of anti-gay feeling, and there are these gay conversion programs which in some places are strongly frowned on, but in other places are still operating away. So it's about a very important topic, as well as a very interesting one. The movie has gotten extremely favorable reviews from a very wide range of critics. I myself don't find it all that terrific as a film. Now, I have to say, it is very, very well acted. Lucas Hedges is just really fine as our main character, Jared. His parents are played by two of the best actors around. Nicole Kidman plays the mother. Russell Crowe plays the father, looking rather beefier than he has in previous years. And there's a very good supporting cast playing a lot of people around the edges of the story, and not just around the edges. And then, as I already mentioned, Joel Edgerton, who wrote and directed the film, he plays the sort of chief counselor in in the gay conversion therapy center, and he is sort of a nasty guy, it seems. He is not a nice man, and he does not approach his task of converting all these young men and some young women. He does not approach the task of doing that very gently. There's also one more guy who seems to be practically a thug, who is sort of the second in command at the gay conversion center, and he's played by the entertainer known as Flea. So again, an interesting cast, very well acted, but I felt the flashback structure of it was clunky. You can always, you know, the flashbacks sort of crop up like clockwork and are not all that interesting in themselves. Also, there is one young person in the program who meets a tragic end. And, oh, I saw that coming so early in the story. I didn't find it a tragic twist at all. I found it just a tragic thing that I knew was going to happen before long. In certain ways, this movie reminded me of Full Metal Jacket. It's sort of another one of these kind of, there's a million and one differences, but there's sort of this barracks setting and this tough drill sergeant running things. And then the guy who meets the most tragic end, I saw it coming a long way away. But that said, my reservations about the film notwithstanding. Again, it's a movie about an important subject. I hope a lot of people go to see it. I hope a lot of people get the message that it is conveying, that this sort of thing just doesn't work and is not a good idea. I just wish the movie itself were a little bit stronger on dramatic grounds. So turning to our next film, which is simply called The Guilty. This is a Danish film. It is our overseas film for the day. And it's a very interesting movie because it takes place pretty much in one place during one time. The movie unfolds in real time. The film is, it's about an hour and a half long, a little shorter than that, actually. And the story takes place over the course of about an hour and a half. And it takes place entirely in one room. Or maybe two rooms if you count. Sometimes he goes into this through this doorway into another part of the area. But it's basically, it's about a dispatch center, a police dispatch center where police take calls and deal with people over the phone who are facing emergencies and then send out officers to deal with the emergency, whatever it may be. And so we have here one man who is working in that police officer who is working in the center, a guy named Asker. And a call comes in and it deals with an emergency and he is coping with it over the phone and trying to get help. A woman has been kidnapped by her husband. They are in a car. She may be in grave danger. The man may be very violent. He has kind of a history of crime in the past. And what is Asger going to do about this? What can he do about this? They are out in a car. She is on her cell phone. He is in this room with all these other people sitting at other desks and he is dealing and trying to deal with this emergency. Now, I will say that maybe about an hour into the film, maybe about two-thirds of the way through, there is an enormous twist that takes place, which really is surprising, and which puts the whole thing in a very different kind of cast. So there's a different slant on things all of a sudden. So in that sense, the movie works very well. And I mean, hey, this is one of the principles of the ancient Greek tragedy, unity of time, place, and action. We really, really have this. We have the whole thing taking place in this dispatch room. We never once cut away outside that room. We never once cut away to the car or anything else. We are in that room. And most of the time, we are focused directly, the camera and our eyes are focused directly on the character of Asger as he deals with this woman who is in terrible danger out there. And the whole thing is simply about this emergency. It is a very, very compressed movie, a very tight movie, and really quite a suspenseful and dramatic movie. There is a long, long history, actually, of movies that, there aren't very many such movies, but there's a long history of movies that deal primarily or even entirely with one single character. I will mention one of my favorites of recent years, which is the Robert Redford movie, All Is Lost, directed by J.C. Chandor, a very, very interesting movie, which takes place entirely on a boat in the middle of the ocean with Robert Redford on it, and in the very first shot of the movie, the boat has already been wrecked. And what's going to happen to Robert Redford out there? The whole movie is just Redford, and that is a film with almost no verbal content because he says almost nothing over the course of the whole film. In this case, there's a lot of verbal content because Asger is almost constantly on the phone with this woman out there, and he's also on the phone with colleagues of his, seeing if some of his colleagues who are out there in the world outside the dispatch room can get some information, and they have some success at that. And that also deals into things. And then also along the way, we gradually realize that Asger himself has got a complicated recent history. He is in disciplinary trouble with his own department. And that's one of the reasons why he is working in this dispatch room and not out there dealing with this in the what we might call the real world. So The Guilty, a very, very interesting movie, a very well-done movie, a very finely acted movie. I hope it gets a wide audience because it's really one of the best thrillers, with its thrills being almost entirely from facial expressions and people speaking. This is a movie with violence in it, but with no violence on the screen. A very, very interesting movie, and I think very, very well realized. So I thoroughly recommend The Guilty, one of the best European imports in quite a while. And finally, Widows. This is a very big movie. And here we have a violent movie, which actually does have a fair amount of violence on the screen, so people can be warned about that. Widows is directed by Steve McQueen, who is a director with a very, very strong – he deals primarily with – well, actually, I shouldn't say that. He is a black director, but he does not deal entirely with black subjects, black subject matter. He burst on the scene with his first feature way back about 10 years ago, actually a little bit more than that, movie, no, 10 years ago, yeah, called Hunger, which was a very, very dramatic and very, very interesting and very political movie about the Irish Republican leader Bobby Sands and a tremendous hunger strike that he led among many of his fellows in a prison in Northern Ireland. After that, he made Shame, which is a movie about sex addiction, starring Michael Fassbender. And then he made 12 Years a Slave, a very, very high-profile movie based on the memoir of an actual African-American slave during the years of American slavery, and a very, very well-directed and beautifully acted movie, very, very historical drama with a very urgent subject. So with all of these movies that deal with what we might call either political or socio-political subjects of great importance, Hunger about an Irish-American hunger striker, and 12 Years a Slave about American slavery and so forth. Now we have Widows, which is pretty much just an out-and-out thriller. The twist of it, or the angle of it that might be called have kind of socio-political importance, is the fact that it is very much about women, and largely about African-American women, who are the, and so in that sense it's a movie about what we might call female empowerment, and it is a movie about the widows of some men who are killed in a violent episode, gangsters. Total out-and-out criminals who are killed in a horrible explosion that takes place at the very beginning of the movie, and which turns out that these people were all connected with very, very big mob activity, and a whole bunch of mob money went missing in the course of this this crime and this explosion, which culminated the crime, and the mob wants its money back. And so since all of the men involved in this were blown up in the explosion, the mob now goes to the widows of these men and say, you were just the widows, you were just the women, you were not involved in all this, but your husbands were involved in this big enormous crime, and they were all killed in the explosion, and our money had went missing after this, and you have got to get a hold of this money, and since the money is apparently blown up in the explosion, the women have to get the money some other way, so of course they decide to pull off an enormous heist of their own. So that is what the movie is about. It is about these four women who are not themselves criminals going out planning and going out to pull off this enormous robbery so that they can then get the money they need to pay back the mob and maybe even to set their own lives in order again. All of this takes place in Chicago, and so we have a whole lot of urban action in this movie. The main thing about this movie is the cast, Viola Davis, Elizabeth Debicki, Cynthia Erivo, and Michelle Rodriguez, kind of a multi-ethnic, multi-racial primary cast. And there are also some very interesting men in the story. There is Liam Neeson, there is Colin Farrell, there is Robert Duvall in a very small role, and unfortunately almost a sort of a self-caricature role, but it's always good to see Duvall. He's, of course, one of our finest actors, even though this is not one of his finest performances. So the acting is really, really good. The movie is very tightly written, very tightly directed. It is, though, I have to say, just a thriller, just an explosive, over-the-top, frequently very, very violent thriller. And I was sort of surprised because I was expecting from Steve McQueen something with more heft to it, some real kind of depth to it. Then again, if you believe, as I do, that for all the progress that has been made in gender equity in recent years and recent decades, the movies remain pretty much behind in this area, and most movies are really about men, featuring men, controlled by men, it's really good to see a movie like this, which even though it is primarily the work of a male director, he co-wrote it with a female co-writer, and again, it has these terrific women in the cast. I mentioned the men who, you know, do a fine job, but this is really a movie which is carried primarily by the women in the cast, and it is good to see such incredibly gifted women in really solid roles, even though the movie is ultimately just a thriller. It's a good thriller. If you can take a pretty much, you know, pretty large amount of violent action, you will have a good time at Widows. So that is my somewhat dark, somewhat grim, but I hope ultimately uplifting story this week, Joe.
For which we always thank you, David Starrett. Films in Focus, the films Boy Erased, The Guilty, and Widows.